Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we deal with the theme of mercy, God's mercy. And we're going to enter in very soon into a year of mercy. And so over the next couple of months, I'm going to be talking about what mercy is, what the mercy of God really is, and what it is not. I'm going to talk about an element of that mercy that is severe mercy. Over these next few weeks, I'm going to be developing this theme because I really want you to be able to receive out of the year of mercy all the graces and all the blessings that God has for you. And in some ways, it's an unparalleled year. Pope Francis has been most generous in extending the mercy of God. But the point we need to understand is that the mercy of God is not cheap grace. The mercy of God comes when we say we're sorry and that we're going to try our best not to do it again. I'm going to develop all of that. But if we offend somebody, as our sin offends God, if we offend somebody and we, doesn't matter, etc., and yet we expect the person we've offended to forgive us, that relationship isn't going to last long, is it? And how many times does that happen to us in relation to God? How many times do we offend him? Expect, oh, God is a God of mercy. God will be merciful to us. And he will. But if we don't say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I'm going to do my best to avoid it, I'm going to do my best with your grace, with your power to change, the mercy of God will be unutterably lavish. But if you say, oh, my sin, it doesn't matter, God's a merciful God, he'll let it go, then you're in trouble. So I want you to hear that distinction because I want you to be able to receive all the graces and all the blessings. And I'm going to talk about our own pride being wounded when we sin and we don't want other people to know about our sin. And we end up trying to hide it even from God, which is impossible. But some people, even living a life of great sin, will say, oh, it doesn't matter. God's a merciful God. Remember, mercy is not cheap grace. It's not. It's an unutterable gift from a God who, the moment we say, Lord, I am sorry, will you please forgive me? It's given. I actually ended up talking a little more about that than I intended to, but I'm actually glad that I did. Because I want you to have that as a foundation, as I said, we prepare for this year of mercy. Today, we take a look at the reading from the prophet Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, and then verse 2 and 11. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah made ready to flee to Tarshish away from the Lord. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get in trouble. I'm out of here. And Jonah did that. He made ready to flee to Tarshish away from the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went aboard to journey with them to Tarshish away from the Lord. The Lord, however, hurled a violent wind upon the sea, and in the furious tempest that arose, the ship was on the point of breaking up. Pretty ferocious storm. And then the mariners became frightened, and each one cried out to his god, small g. There were all kinds of idols, all kinds of idolatry. To lighten the ship for themselves, they threw its cargo into the sea. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship, and he lay there fast asleep. The captain came to him and said, "What are you doing asleep? Rise up, call upon your God. Perhaps God will be mindful of us so that we may not perish." And then they said to one another, here's a bit of human wisdom, "Come, let us cast lots to find out on whose account we have met with this misfortune." So they cast lots and thus singled out Jonah. God has his ways, doesn't he? "Tell us," they said, "what is your business? Where do you come from? What is your country, and to what people do you belong?" And Jonah answered them, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now the men were seized with great fear and said to him, "How could you do such a thing? How could you do such a thing?" And they knew that he was fleeing from the Lord because he had told them. He's fleeing from the Lord, and he told them that. And they asked, "What shall we do with you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more turbulent. And Jonah said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea that it may quiet down for you, since I know it is because of me that this violent storm has come upon you." Do you see, even in Jonah's mistake, even in running away from the Lord, yet look at his heart. He was willing to die to save them, or at least take the chance of dying to save them. Still the men rowed hard to regain the land, but they could not, for the sea grew ever more turbulent. And then they cried to the Lord, "We beseech you, O Lord, let us not perish for taking this man's life. Do not charge us with shedding innocent blood, for you, Lord, have done as you saw fit." And so then they did take Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea's raging abated. Struck with great fear of the Lord, the men offered sacrifice and made vows to him. But the Lord sent a large fish that swallowed Jonah, and Jonah remained in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And from the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Then the Lord commanded the fish to spew Jonah upon the shore. I think Jonah wouldn't disobey the Lord another time after an experience like that. Responsorial psalm actually comes from the second chapter of Jonah. "You will rescue my life from the pit." And that's what God does. When we find ourselves in the pit, like Jonah found himself in the belly of a fish, because he disobeyed the Lord. He didn't want to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And he had a rather stark, very dramatic response from God. God loved Jonah. God wanted to use Jonah for the sake of saving the lives of many people, and Jonah didn't want any part of it. But God knew Jonah's heart, and he knew if Jonah was chastised, Jonah would probably wake up. "You will rescue my life from the pit, O Lord." Sometimes God does that with us, you know. Don't be afraid. He only wants us to follow him, that we might know him and love him and be happy with him for all eternity. And that's not a fairy tale for those of you who think that. This is real. And God will go to any length to get us to a point where we really repent of our sin and turn back to him. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." There's the heart of it, brothers and sisters. There's the heart of the gospel. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Same way you love and want to be loved, you want to love your neighbor. And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Now that's a very succinct summary there of the commandments, but take a look at it. Are you living by it? Do you need to change anything? But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Notice it said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So he takes issue. Now, wait a moment here. Wait a moment. I know the law, but now wait a moment. Who is my neighbor? He's trying to reduce his obligation. And Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place. When he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan, one the Jews did not associate with, but a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. And then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" And he answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." It's the Good Samaritan. And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Take this gospel is very, very important, brothers and sisters. Take this gospel and read it carefully. Are you living by the commandments? Are you loving your neighbor, which is how we express our love for God in many ways? St. Faustina, who wrote the diary of St. Faustina, her encounters with the Lord and the whole understanding and meaning of mercy, which is the basis for our Feast of Divine Mercy, which comes the Sunday after Easter. And St. Faustina says, "Jesus, you have given me to know and understand in what a soul's greatness consists, not in great deeds, but in great love. Love has its worth, and it confers greatness on all our deeds. Although our actions are small and ordinary in themselves because of love, they become great and powerful before God. Each act we do to serve one another, to love others, Lord Jesus, I do this for you. May you receive all the honor and glory." Make it a clear intention. St. Faustina says, "God approaches a soul in a special way known only to himself and to the soul. Love presides in this union, and everything is achieved by love alone." Everything is achieved by love alone. That's what needs to govern us, brothers and sisters. Love, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, justice. Does that criteria identify you? If someone was going to identify you in a series of words, would those words be the series? Take a look at this, brothers and sisters. Are you living according to the commandments, truly in the love and the mercy of God? God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.